Blog Talk Radio.
Unleash the freshness.
You've just entered another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of imagination. The imagination of one man who possesses the ability to step into multiple personalities at will. Ladies and gentlemen, what you are about to witness comes with a warning. Do not be afraid. There's the signpost up ahead. It's only minutes away. So sit back, relax, and prepare yourselves. You've just entered into the Twilight Zone. That is, I love that. Wait a minute. I should do my first speech as Rod Serling. Hold on. Good evening, everybody. Welcome once again. It's time for the John Monforto Show, a product of WBNN, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia from Lagos, Nigeria. And as always, if you'd like to join in on the conversation, just dial 516-453-9133 and press 1. Oh, I just had to do that. That's a great intro. I have to tell you why I played that Rod Serling clip in the beginning. Our guest tonight has a recording studio. I just recorded that piece about a week and a half ago, and I love it so much. I said, you know what? I got to use that on the radio. Hello, world. How you guys doing? It's been another whole month since we have talked. Like I said, we got to stop meeting like this. We got to meet in person. I can't take it. I miss you guys, man. You know, that whole Twilight Zone thing, there's a bit of a story behind that, too. I had my Twilight Zone Rod Serling impression on YouTube for quite a few years. And I get a call from this guy out in Las Vegas. He's a filmmaker. And long story short, he knows a very wealthy individual who wants to recreate the elevator scene, which is at Disney World for that big ride, the Tower of Terror. The guy's extremely wealthy. He has an elevator in his own home. And he wants, when people get in, he wants them to see Rod Serling on the video, just like they do at Disney World. So they did a very interesting thing. They recorded me with a script they wrote. They recorded me, videotaped me as Rod Serling. They got the voice of the gentleman who does the Rod Serling character at Disney World, and they had the face of Rod Serling. They computer generated it all together, and they came up with a beautiful piece of workmanship, a film for this guy in his home, and it's awesome. And I was so flattered to be a part of that. So enough with the Twilight Zone. Please, if you have the opportunity, give us a call. Feel free. You know, last month we did a free Willie Nelson impersonation class. Remember, you had to hold your nose and say, sing as Willie Nelson. But you don't have to, you know, if you call in, you don't have to do a voice impression. It would be great if you did, or tell a joke or something. It can be anybody. I don't care. It could be as simple as two words. Like, I don't know how many people out there remember a movie actor named Walter Brennan. He had a weekly TV show that was called The Real McCoys. He sounded, hey, Luke, get down from that trick. He sounded like that. Or Bullwinkle Moose. Remember Rocky and Bullwinkle? Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. You know, anything. Or even the buzzard. I didn't know they had this old cartoon with this buzzard. He's limping and he's singing, I'm bringing home a baby bumblebee. I mean, I don't care. Just get, you know what? You can call me and ask me about the weather where I'm at. I just want to have some fun. Let's get some calls in here, and we'll make it happen. So tonight's topic, ladies and gentlemen, for the show is, as always, has to do with music. But this is studio magic. And I say that because our, like I said earlier, our guest tonight owns a recording studio, Polygon Studio in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, among other things. But he'll be here in a couple minutes. But I wanted to just say a little bit about the importance of music in our lives. I mean, it's present in everything we do. Perfect example. Today, I'm helping out my wife. We have to leave tomorrow. We have to go up to the Catskills. And she wanted to iron some things. And it would be a great help. So I said, you know what, hon? I'll iron it. I don't want to iron anything. But anyway, I'm helping her out ironing. And I'm thinking, oh, this is so boring. So what do? I put music on. And guess what? The task was a breeze. How many times do you see people cutting their grass? They got headsets on to listen to music. They're riding their bike with headsets on. They're walking or jogging with headsets on. Even songs describe the importance of music in people's lives. There's a song where the lyrics are, I hear music when I look at you. I hear music when I look at you. A beautiful dream of every theme I ever knew. I mean, that's the importance of music. And that is just another reason why I love music. And all of my guests so far have been involved in music. Tonight, my friends, tonight is no different. Tonight, my special guest is from right here in New Jersey. And the strange thing about my special guest is that I knew his family for over 50 years. I didn't know him. I never met him. But I knew his family. In fact, his great uncle married my aunt, my mom's sister. So there's got to be some kind of connection there. I mean, I don't know what it is, but there's a connection here. So let me tell you a little bit about this guy. He is, first and foremost, an amazing piano player. And he is probably the best Billy Joel impersonator that I have ever seen. And to top it off, like I said earlier, he is the owner of Polygon Recording Studios. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're sitting, stand up, give this guy a round of applause. Please say hello to my special guest, Mr. Robert Eric. Hey, Rob, you there?
Hey, John, how you doing?
I am great, man. How are you?
You know, I have to start off to tell the listeners it's going to sound like a mutual admiration society, but I'm before you gave that great intro, I celebrated on June 1st, 38 years, same studio, same name, and you're the best singer. I'm not even going to say probably. I was like, I couldn't stop showing your sing. It was off the charts. It's like,
oh,
I knew you were, you know when you know someone's good, but it's like, wow. No, you're off the charts. And I'm not even getting, I like to get technical from range.
Thank you, Rob, could throw fastballs
and curveballs.
I appreciate that. Tonight's more about you, my friend. I mean, it's pretty cool when you have the talent that you have in those magic fingers of yours. And, you know, I'm always talking about music, the importance of music, right, and what it does in people's lives and how it can actually change your life. And I believe it's changed your life big time, hasn't it?
It is my life. And again, it's not like, you know, it's not like, oh, I love it. Somebody asked me, I hope you understand this analogy. Well, do you enjoy doing what you're doing? If you don't enjoy it, you shouldn't do it. I remember back in the day saying, well, does Derek Jeter enjoy playing shortstop. I use that. You want to do a whatever. You want to do a good job, and it's not like it's not a day off at the beach, but you enjoy it. But it's more like that. I mean, Derek Jeter looks like I'm using that analogy for the 100th time, but that's always first. Like whatever we're doing, you know, in music or recording or entertainment, I think when you're in it, you just always want to do a good job.
Agreed. And I always say I feel like I'm the luckiest man alive that I can do what I love to do and get paid for it. I mean, that right there is like what I'd love to do, Robert, is to just start off with one of your songs one of your Billy Joel tunes. Is that okay?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do song number one. Here we go.
Popular steadies and the king and the queen of the prom. Riding around with the cards upside down and the radio on. Nobody looked any finer. Always more of a hit at the Parkway Diner. We never knew we could want more than that. Brenda and Eddie,
talented Mr. Robert Eric, and that was Robert's rendition of Billy Joel's extremely cool song, Scenes from an Italian Restaurant. Give us a call, folks, if you want, 516-453-9133, and press number 1 to join in on the conversation. You know, Rob, I want to ask you about that. The tempo mm-hmm. change is very interesting. Usually that song is a lot faster.
I did a dance remix Billy Joel album, and we always drove down the road with the band saying, why don't we do Beach Billy Joel? Like, you just take it. So, for whatever it's worth, if you listen closely to the renditions, they are trying to get a feel. That was trying to get a very obvious Margaritaville feel with the steel drums. So if you really listen to it, you could. So the first listening ear, that sounds odd because you're used to the regular tempo. But we call the album, it's an EP, we call it Keyboards and Surfboards. Just Billy Joel beach music. You just can't just remake his music. I don't think that would any be a waste of effort in that sense. We sing the regular versions live. Yeah, we do them live, but
I agree. You got to make it your own, and I think you did a nice job with that. Now, that's not a track. That's your band, right?
That's a band that's live drums. I'll even say to the point, I wanted no piano. I always make rules. So I'm very, even though I play every instrument, I don't think I play any instrument. I sing on these, and there's a guy and a girl background, the guitar player and the percussionist are playing, but live drums, live bass. It's the band playing. And then, but it was, I got to give myself some credit. I tracked out the tempo and the idea, and we're going to try like this. And then we rehearsed it and put it together, and it took a while. And, in today's world, we fixed a lot of vocals, I was able to get that pencil and make them all perfect.
You know what's good about that tempo is it's a lot easier to understand the actual words that Billy Joel wrote, too, because listen to some of his stuff, it's hard to understand.
That's real quick.
So let's talk a little bit about you and how you actually got started. Like, at what age did you start playing piano?
Well, we talked about in our town, we're almost like all cousins in a way, so we're all from that great town that you mentioned. My father was a guitar player and a good one. He was a builder, contractor, bricklayer, but, quit to play guitar. I mean, quit to do that. He tells a funny story about his amp didn't work on the radio. And it's like that day he said, I quit. It's like, it was like pretty embarrassing. He had to hit a chord on a radio show in Seaford, Delaware. But I was the son out of the two of us. Like, I wanted a little more of a daddy's boy. Like, I'll play guitar, Dad. And he would drag me to lessons. And I think from 8 to 11 years old, he would take me. And I hated it. I remember I wanted to watch the Doris Day show or something like that. It was like Monday nights. And, you mentioned Grandpappy Amos, so I'll mention Doris Day. Yeah. And I think I quit at 11 and had a real good teacher who was Mike Douglas's. I had two Mike Douglas teachers, and it was Bob DiNardo. The other was Sonny Troy. And at 11, Dad, I don't want to go. I don't want to do this. I want to, I want to watch Monday night. I always remember it was Monday night. So it really broke his heart. And then right at maybe 15 or 14, I didn't want to play sports anymore. I picked up the guitar and just started playing. Then you start asking your friends who are into sports, hey, why don't you learn bass, which didn't work. It's like, the other jock guys, you'll learn drums. So it just, sports left the building, and I just wanted to play and play guitar. And with piano, it's a good question. It's one of those things, like many people that generation, there's always a piano in the house. With the cigarette phones on the keys, and some of the keys. Yeah, so we always had a piano. Well, there's Billy Joel had a story that his was missing keys, and he's showing his cousins. He goes, well, I just play around him. Like, how amazing Billy Joel would play around his piano with, like, half the keys missing was phenomenal. So, but we all had that key, thing, and I would get songbooks. And, you know, it was that stuff that my, like, when I was 17 and all that stuff. And you'd learn how to play it.
Yeah.
I was able to read music, and through guitar, you learn. And I was, even when I had my first piano lesson, I remember the jazz teacher, they're like, how do you know all those chords? Well, I had a jazz guitar father and a piano, so it became real natural that you can put on, you know, anything, you know, All of Me, and you could play it. It wasn't, even though I'm not from that generation, because my father, because mm-hmm. of the piano, I don't want to say became, the aspect of song playing became natural. Piano technique to do Billy Joel takes work. Like when one of my customers was learning harmonica, and he goes, I said something not to be mean. I said, oh, you could be great. Work hard. I said, you know, none of us are ever going to be John Popper, who's, you know, run around. Why you want to give me? He's like a Van Halen. And he goes, mm-hmm. well, what if you work hard? It's not going to happen. And that's not being derogatory. When you talk about speed instruments, like Eddie Van Halen, that's like being Michael Jordan. It's more than just effort. Effort will get you, but not to that. So Billy Joel stuff is lightning fast. So going from being, oh, I could play, maybe I'm amazed and Let It Be, and able to play Just the Way You Are. But to play scenes, you literally had to get a teacher. And John, up until a week ago, I think they were moldy. I had weighted gloves. You practice this stuff with weights on. He's very fast, but I play it. I play it well, but I'm not going to say I would take a month off from playing and go do a gig. You really do a lot of things with the clicker, the metronome, work it up.
Yeah.
He's just very, very fast. And I do play it, but it takes work.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, going back to what you said about school and sports. I was always impressed with the kids who could play an instrument during their high school years, because I'm thinking to myself, man, that takes a lot of dedication. And so I guess you started, like you actually started playing Billy Joel back at that time, right? When he was, when he first came out?
I have a great, quick story that is only interesting to me, but hopefully your audience. I played keyboards. When Just the Way You Are came out, I played keyboards Moving Out, played that.
Mm-hmm.
With the band about a long time ago when it came out. But I played guitar too. So I wanted to be a guitar. You wanted to be the cool guy. You wanted to be, and I probably should have stuck with piano, but I was a good guitar player. I'm not, and this is all I do. And I actually graduated with a degree in guitar. So I played both. But then we got a keyboard player, and I was more the guitar player singer. And as God is my witness, at 40, whatever, I'm going to use that age. At that age, somebody recommended me to the Legend Show because I knew a guy, he could do Billy Joel, and I didn't get in it, but I did an audition for them where the grand piano's off and you're singing him with a background track, and they sent it in. One thing led to another. I had a New York agency say, hey, we need a sub for this guy, sent me music, and I subbed for Big Shot, which is huge. He's actually the lead singer, Michael Del Judas, is Billy Joel's backup guitar player singer. When he left, I sang for them for a few years, but had to learn how to play the parts just by recommendation. Mm-hmm. Then the drive to Long Island it's just something I don't regret it at all. But I said, I'm going to go back to where we live. I'm going to start my own band. And that's been a while. So it took a lot of work, but it was really a casino person saying, hey, he could be in the Legend Show, not getting it, but the video being sent to New York and saying, hey, they need this guy. They need a replacement for this guy. So it all, one thing led to the other, and that was it. And I just had to practice and practice. And I remember saying to myself, coming up from New York, I said, if you don't, you know, you talk to yourself. I forget what I said to myself. I said, if you don't blow this opportunity. You're getting asked to learn these mm-hmm. songs. You learn them. It was really tough. I mean, I was really tough on myself to more the piano, just like the singing, just like with you, the singing was always easier. There's certain very, I'm saying in all my years doing it, very few nights, because I take care of my voice, I warm up, it doesn't sound great right now, but very few nights was I nervous about singing, doing him. It was always like, here comes the angry young man, okay, but you know, you have a pretty big crowd out there, and very few nights my voice felt odd that, you know, wow, I'm more nervous, but very few, but you gut it out, it's all that, but his piano playing, you could, they, when they compare him to Elton John, and I do some Elton John music, but Billy Joel has so many parts, like in Billy the Kid, Angry Young Man scenes, where it's like you're on a tightrope, or the guy on the top of the circus with the spotlight and the drum roll. So if you're in one of these big outdoor things, 3,000 people and everything stops, and you got this fast part, let me tell you something. You read a lot of psychology books on it. You do meditate. Now it's gotten easier all these years later, but it was like you as it's coming. Like the fast parts and scenes, you go, here it comes. You know, I found it more difficult than singing. But
well,
that's it. I do it. And I like the way I do it all the time.
You do a great job. You really do, Rob. Yes. And speaking of doing a great job, I think it's time to hear another one of your tunes. Let's go to song number two, shall we?
Okay.
Reggae Uptown Girl. Reggae. I love it. We have our first caller here, Rob. Hello, caller.
Hey, baby.
Oh, baby. Hello, darling. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What do you think of the reggae Uptown
incredible.
Girl? That was awesome.
Incredible. Uptown Girl. Incredible. Okay? Sounds just like him.
Thank you.
He does sound good, doesn't he? Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Wow.
One of my favorites.
This is Jerry Petito, Rob. She is like the number one radio personality on this station, in my opinion. I'm sure there's other good people, but to me, she's number one.
She's number
Thank
one
you.
To me
Thank
now.
You very much. You're awesome. I'm not kidding.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, thank you.
So, yes, yeah, so maybe hit me up with an interview.
Oh, interview anytime you want. You know what? He even he does bar mitzvahs too, darling.
Oh, that's pretty cool. But I love it. Love it. Love it. Thank you, John.
Thank you so much for calling in, Jerry. Appreciate it.
All right. I'm going to continue to listen. You're awesome.
Take care.
Thanks,
nice meeting
thanks.
You.
Thanks. Rob, the
yes.
Before we go off to something else completely different, like, first of all, you and your band sound awesome. I mean that. And
I appreciate
like
it.
where have you performed? I mean, you sound like you've done some pretty big shows.
Everywhere. I'll tell you some good shows we've done. Some of my favorite. We actually opened up for him twice at the Wachovia when it was the Wells Fargo or somewhere around. And we got front row seats. They actually had the tribute band there playing before him. And one of the events, he actually said, let's give a hand for the lookalike band before me. He always seems a little drunk. And we did that. I'm just going to – this has nothing to do with me. This is not humble bragging. It's just the things that we're throwing. We opened up for Dennis DeYoung, which was a thrill.
Wow.
And I wanted to meet him so bad, but it was like we got this funny picture of him trying to get in our dressing room with a security. The promoter said, I said, I was such a fan. He did all the music of Styx. And they said we can meet him, but literally the band comes out and starts. They started, da-da-da-da-da, I remember, what's the name of the album? I can't remember the album's name. Someone
I know.
Welcome to the Grand Illusion. So the band is starting no intro, and he comes out with security guards and starts singing. And then at the end, they play, the end of the concert, an hour and a half later, they play this big instrumental, and he leaves, so there's no access. But that was a thrill. We did that in Cincinnati. But we've done every casino like everybody else. We've done everything from Borgata to Harrah's. We Caesars.
Awesome
parks. If you're playing, the tribute band thing is it's interesting, and I have a new comparison for what tribute bands are. Tribute bands are, I'm not saying this is whatever, they're bigger than cover bands, but well lower than the act. It's like an event.
Mm-hmm.
It's unlike saying a cover band's coming. Not that they're better or worse, and we know they're are some great ones out there. The great one, and unfortunately they're still around, but the legendary, beautiful man, good friend, talented, Don't Call Me Francis, is as good or better than any act out there, many of the real ones.
Mm-hmm.
And God rest his soul, Frank, nobody had anything bad to say, so they're still kicking it. I think we have the same agent, whatever, but tribute bands, always when you put Billy Joel, Stones tribute, it's something a little more of an event than the party band. I think they you get bigger gigs, you get more, I think, outdoor that the township puts. We're always doing, like, Rose Tree Park is huge, amphitheater, we've done it 7 times. We've done Excursion Park about 5 times in Seattle City.
Yeah,
we just.
I actually did Rose Tree Park 2 or 3 times myself. That's a nice venue.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
You know what? We have a special guest here that just came in, and I'm sure you know who he is. I don't have the music for him, but here, come on over here, Rock. Yo, how you guys doing? Hey, thanks a lot for having me here. Yo, hey, you know what today is? It's time for me to give you a Rocky horoscope. Are you ready? All right, here we go. Now, I know today is June 16th, but what good is it if I give you a horoscope for today if it's already over? So I'm going to give you horoscope for tomorrow, June 17th, all right? Which means if it's your birthday, first of all, happy birthday. And that means that you are a Gemini, right? Gemini. You got something in your eye, get it out, all right? It's never good to have something in your eye. Now, you're going to have a lot of energy with all your friends tomorrow. Something different is in the air, and it's pushing you to move forward, all right? Forward, you know what I mean? One foot in front of the other. Now, you're going to make decisions. You're going to go in new directions, and that's for your own good and for the good of all the people that are around you too, huh? And you're going to have a beneficial, that's a big word there, beneficial impact on your family. And this newfound strength is going to give you a great boost, all right? Don't forget your color, light green and yellow. Your lucky day is Wednesday. Your lucky numbers are 5, 7, 14, and 23. And your lucky dates are May 21st and June 20th. That's coming up, huh? And that's your horoscope for today. Oh, wait a minute. Hey, yo, Rob, you still there?
Yep.
When is your birthday, Rob?
August 16th.
August 16th. That means that you, like, you're lying, right?
Yeah.
No, tell the truth. You're lying or you're telling the truth? What is it? So that means you're like, you're in Leo, huh?
Yes.
All right, Mr. Leo.
Yes, sir. I'm a Leo, right?
All right. You know, you are typically, you're worried about how others see you. And you value their opinions, and you do not feel easily threatened by others, which I like about you, all right? I'll just give you a couple quickies. Your lucky numbers are number 6 and number 7. Don't ask me why. I had no idea. All right? That's what it says here. That's all. Your lucky colors are yellow. Now, this represents the sun, all right? And the, another lucky color is sea green. You can see green a lot, the trees and stuff like that, you know. Your lucky days are Sunday and Monday. Hey, yo, you got like a vacation coming up, huh? And if it's your birthday on August 16th, the best gift that you could get for a man who is a Leo, is planning him a surprise birthday party. And if it's a woman, get her a steel watch. Right? Don't steal the watch. I mean, get her a steel watch, you know? And I guess that's it. Ain't nothing else other than, you know, other people, famous people who are celebrating on the same day. That's Will Ferrell, Rogers. And Phoebe Cates and Corey Feldman. You know, I can't believe they share the same birthday because they were in that same movie. I even forget what it's called, but Goonies. They were in Goonies together.
Phoebe Cates?
All right. Phoebe Cates, yeah. Is any of that stuff interesting to you?
Wait a minute. When you talk about, I was listening to everything you were saying and taking it as gospel. Don't kid yourself.
All right. Oh, good. Write it down then. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Give me some raw.
I'll give you some raw eggs later. Yo, I always end everything with, just remember, eye the tiger, eye the tiger. Right. Hey, thanks, Rock. I appreciate that. It's always nice to have a visit. Philadelphia's native son. Don't you think so, Rob?
Absolutely. And again, the best movie he was in, who was just on a second ago, he left before I could say hi, is probably the one with Tommy Morrison. I had to be opposite.
Oh,
there.
Yeah, that was a good one. Well, anyway, you said his favorite multisyllabic word. You said absolutely. He loves saying it. He says that in every movie. He goes, you know? anyway, all right, let's get back to some other stuff here. Let's talk a little bit about Polygon. I mean, how did you actually get started into the recording business?
It was so long ago, but I always tend to believe I have a good story, not a great one. But no, I remember someone gave me a book that, and I don't read books. I think I've read 5 in my life. 2 were The Godfather. But it took me 2 vacations to read Moneyball. I'm a baseball fan. It's like, I'm serious. It's like I picked it up in January.
Yeah.
Picked up the next January. But it was a book that said that Bill Gates, Wozniak, Paul Allen, and Steven Jobs were all born within 2 weeks of each other. And this
really?
Has nothing to do with me because I didn't become – yeah, that if they were born – a few weeks later, a few weeks earlier, they either the technology would have been out, or they wouldn't have been trying, or the whatever at the time was developing BASIC. I don't know that world, but I literally picked the best year, and I always had synthesizers, and I liked drum machines when they were ancient. I mean, I was ahead of the curve on that. Not that it made me rich like them, but. In the summer of 83, had a good summer job playing down the shore, making $287 a week. And I said, I want my own studio. I remember the price. So I said, you're going to save, I saved $2,250. I think you'd put it in a sock drawer. I don't think I had even a checking account. But I said, if you can even look this up, in the summer of 83, on August 6th, he said, that's my lucky number. Well, Rocky said, that's my lucky number.
Mm-hmm.
August 6th, they had the convention in Anaheim, MIDI, computer recording, Macintosh. It's like, and I'm saying, well, what's this? Record on a computer. So I said, well, I want this. So I had the 157th Macintosh made. It had the autographs inside. And, of course, I gave it to some girl who I shouldn't say that. Like, I don't know who's listening. But but anyway. Hi, sweetheart. But anyway, they say it's worth $3,000 now. But it was 1984, and you could look it up. June of 84 when I opened up. But in 83, I started buying equipment right when this stuff was coming out. So the brochures were coming out. MIDI, musical instrument digital interface, recorded on computers. So I started getting this drum machines and samplers. Where everyone else in the area were still doing bands. I did record bands at first too. So we started buying equipment, and I had a partner, another local, Mike Fortuna, still a good friend. So I had a Mac. So when people wanted to do some of the new 80s stuff, there was nowhere in the area to go. Like the bigger Philly studios, I'll name them, Sigma and Alpha and KGEM, they had mixing boards and tape machines. So rappers and dance people, Pretty Poison, Wake Four, Adam Morano, Collage, rappers in the area, Big Lou, they started coming to my place. We were the only people that had turntable samplers. I didn't know any better. It's like I literally start a studio the summer that all the stuff's coming out. So I was always ahead of the game. If I would have wanted to buy a studio in 1982, this stuff wasn't available, I'd be doing rock bands. If I wanted to start a studio, say, in 1987, there would be 10 other studios in the area that had all this. But the year that I wanted to save money to buy a studio, I bought, again, the 808 drum machines and the S900 sampler and the DX7. It was all stuff that was for the electronic realm of the 80s and later dance. and rap. So I was, when programming, and anybody who comes to my place and knows it, I could do it as well, or program stuff as well as anybody.
Yeah,
if you gave me a whole day, I could probably recreate Bohemian Rhapsody with the record scratch. And it's just because I was born into it. It's like, you know, it's just, mm-hmm. it still worked, but on the other hand, I wouldn't pick me to do, not that I couldn't do it because I'm a little egotistical with recording, but you wouldn't go to me if you were the heavy metal band. You would go somewhere else. So I'm not, although I think I would do a good job, but that's not what we do or the orchestra. And I study techniques, but no, you don't go to my place. If you have a dance track, if you have a rap track, if you're a solo artist like yourself who needs someone to, you know, you have an idea for a song, a remake, I'll build it from the ground up. We pick the drum sounds. If you go, I like these drums on this record, I'll be able to match it up. That's the world that I was virtually born into.
Right.
By the chance,
right.
by the luck of the date.
Well, you do a great job in the studio. I mean, I am extremely pleased with my product. In fact, I'm coming back and you know it.
But before we
go any further, because we're cutting time here, I want to hear your third song. Yeah, let's hear number three.
Okay.
Red China, Johnny Red, South Pacific, Walter Winchell, Joe DiMaggio, Joe McCarthy, Richard Nixon, Studebaker, Television, North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe. Rosenberg's H-Bomb, Sugar Ray, Pamela, John Brando, the King and I, and the Catcher in the Rye, Eisenhower vaccine, England's got a new queen, Marciano, Liberace, San Diana, goodbye.
Greece is on the fire. It was always burning, the world's been turning. We didn't start the fire, though we didn't light it, but we tried to fight it.
Joseph Stalin, Malakoff, Nasser and Prokofiev, Rockefeller, Campanella, Communist Bloc, Roy Cohn, Wamperon, Tuscanini, Jack Ron, Kim Bin, Fool Balls, Rock Around the Clock, Einstein, James Dean, Brooklyn's got a winning team, David Crockett, Peter Pan, Elvis Presley, Disneyland, Bardo, Budapest, Alabama, Khrushchev, Richard Frank,
fire. It was always burning, and the world's been turning. We didn't start the fire, though we didn't light it, but we tried to fight it.
Little Rock, Pasternak, Mickey Mantle, Kerouac, Sputnik, showing live bridge on the River Kwai, Lebanon, Charles de Gaulle, California, baseball, sock, weather, homicide, children that solidified. Buddy Holly, Ben Hur, Space Monkey, Mafia, Hula Hoop, Castro, Edsel is a no-go. U2, Sigmund Reed, Pale on Kennedy, Chubby Checker, Psycho, Belgium in the Congo.
It's on the fire, it was always burning, since the world's been turning. We didn't start the fire, though we didn't light it, but we tried to fight it.
Hemingway, Eichmann, Stranger in a Strange Land, Dylan, Berlin, Bay of Pigs invasion, Lawrence of Arabia, British Beatlemania, Old Miss John Glenn, Lister beats Patterson, Pope Paul, Malcolm X, greatest politician, sex, campaign, from the way, what else do I have to say?
We didn't start the fire, it was always burning, since the world's been turning. We didn't start the fire, though we didn't light it, but we tried to fight it.
Birth control, Ho Chi Minh, Richard Nixon back again, Moonshot, Woodstock, Watergate, punk rock, Reagan, Reagan, Palestine, terror on the airline, Ayatollah in Iran, Russians in Afghanistan, Wheel of Fortune, Sally Ride, heavy metal, suicide, fondant, Homer's Fez, AIDS, crash, burning gas, hypothermics on the shore, China's on the martial law, rock and roll, solar walls, I can't take it anymore.
On and 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 on
was awesome, Rob. Absolutely awesome.
Thank you.
Wow. Listen.
Yes.
Before we say good night to you, just let's tell the people if you're performing anywhere, you got any new ventures on the horizon soon, and also how can they get a hold of you or your website or something like that?
Okay. Yeah, it's very easy. I'm every Wednesday. I'm at Keenan's in North Wildwood, which is great. I mean, the summer. And the big one we have is we come on out Williamstown. It's called Hospitality Creek. It's our first time there. I'm told it's a great big gig. And that's going to be at night on July 2nd. And next Wednesday, starting every Wednesday. And you can check our schedule on roberteric.com. Robert and Eric, E-R-I-C. I'm a nice Irish guy. You can tell I bought that website a long time ago. How do you get your name? But
visit
it. And you'll see our website. You'll see photos. You'll see videos. And that's it. But thank you. And I want to say again, you were always the person in our town that we looked up to, the one that made it. And when you came to my studio, it was a thrill to work with you and to brag about it. And I'm going to be honest. It was like I always knew you were good. It's like, oh, my God. It's like the old Steve Martin line, get rid of the probably. You're probably the most talented person any of us know. And I said get rid of the probably.
Wow, Robert, thank you for those kind words. I really appreciate that. I am, I really wish, I know July 2nd I'm performing, down in Florida. I have my one-man show going on down there, but is that every week in Williamstown?
No, that's one of the one and dones.
Okay. But the Keenan's is
Wednesday every week. And and look at our schedule. You'll see all our dates and
all right.
We'll go from there.
Yeah, that will be great. Absolutely great. And like I said, I'm going to reschedule with you again very shortly to come back into the studio because it really kicked. And I want to tell you folks out there, I was in the studio, like I said, I don't know, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago at Polygon. And we went through, I don't know, what'd you say, about maybe 6 or 7 songs, Rob?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I came home and I listened to them. And there was a little issue with a couple things. I called Rob. I said, he said, John, no problem. He said, I got the same system I have in the studio, I have in my home. So an hour later, ladies and gentlemen, the little issues that I thought I had were all fixed and cleaned up. And I got a brand new MP3 and 2 brand new MP3s in my email with everything perfect. So I'm saying that because this guy knows what he's doing and he doesn't give you a problem if something doesn't go right or whatever it is. And that's the way it should be. So, like I said before, I never worked with someone who works the way you do. Like I said, usually they record everything and then the performer leaves and you sit down and you mix. I like the way you.
We're always recording and we're always mixing and we're always trying to make it sound like an end product. Let's see the future. Let's see what it's going to be, and then you add stuff. But you want to get to me a finished sounding product because sometimes you'll judge something before it's like and I try to convince this is going to sound great. So you want to show them. And then you can go, let me do the second verse now that, you see what it's going to be. That's my
right.
At least that's the way
right.
I feel about it.
Right.
But,
well,
again,
Robert, once
I
again,
appreciate you.
You kidding? Thank you so much. I appreciate your time and my best to your lady. And stay safe, my friend. So we're back. And you know what? I know we have a few minutes left. I wanted to kind of close out I thought maybe every show should have like a little kick at the end, like a little limerick or something like that. So I have a project where I'm writing something. I can't talk about it because I signed an NDA, but I'm writing something, and all I can tell you is that it has to do with the Wizard of Oz. So my limerick tonight is based on the Wizard of Oz, and it's very short, it's very cute, and it goes like this. The incredible Wizard of Oz retired from his business because, due to up-to-date science, to most of his clients, he wasn't the wizard he was. That's kind of cool. I like that. And just a quick note about going back to our topic for tonight, our topic of being studio magic. I don't know if anybody listening out there has ever been in a recording studio for themselves, or you could have been invited to a recording studio to, you know, just to watch. A lot of times they'll bring in people to be background noise, like it's a party scene and they'll have people there. It's probably one of the coolest things you'll ever experience if you ever have an opportunity. I mean, even through the whole COVID thing where you couldn't go out, you couldn't go to parties, you couldn't go to concerts. Big performers like Sting Sting has a recording studio in his basement. So Sting came out and did an acoustic set for about an hour right there in his basement studio. And yeah, of course it's cool because it's Sting playing, but the whole ambiance and the atmosphere of being in a professional recording studio is probably one of the coolest things you'll ever experience. So if you have an opportunity, make it happen. And make it happen at Polygon Records or Polygon Recording Studio with my good friend Robert Eric. Okay, I believe it's Ngozi time.
Thank you so much, John. It's funny you said that because one of my favorite DJs, of course, I'm a DJ, you know, everybody knows me. Anyway, one of my favorite DJs is a girl by the name of DJ Cassidy. And during the time of being locked down with COVID-19, definitely during the 2020 year, he blessed me on a Christmas Eve night, man. I'm talking about Stephanie Mills. I'm talking about Joe. I'm talking about, you know, Janet Jackson, Patrice Rushen, Patti LaBelle, Howard Hill, you name it. They all came on the Force and Beat. They all came on, you know, your regular YouTube and did a outstanding, like, short concert for about an hour. And it really touched my spirit and touched my soul for that you know, Christmas Eve night, that, you know, the 24th of December. And it just made me feel so good. So it's funny that he brought up, I did get a chance to see Sting do that, his rendition, man, just trying to, you know, just bless the crowd. We've come a long way since, you know, that lockdown. We still have to be very vigilant. Just take care of yourself and each other. Tomorrow night right here at WBNN, we come right back on with Mo Garman and Breaking the Silence at 9:30 Eastern Daylight Time right here. And, of course, what more can I say? WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We are on that. Pinterest and, you know, Instagram, you know, Twitter is also. Ole Day Malay, when you go to Facebook, any comments, suggestions, or welcome program tonight. Ole Day Lay, that goes with my and gmail.com, and I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ole Day Malay, when you go to saying good night, good luck to all the folks out there in our Porch Radio and support us on a constant basis. All right, John, take us home.
Thank you, Brother O. This is John Monforto. I'm a singer, a celebrity impersonator, and actor. Look me up on Google, Facebook, YouTube. My website's johnmonforto.com. My email is jmonforto@comcast.net. Time to check out. Let me give you a short rundown as to where I'm going to be performing in the next month. This weekend, actually, I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm performing as Sinatra in a Rat Pack show up in the Catskill Mountains of New York State at a place called Villa Roma. I'm going to be performing with Jeff Foote as Sammy Davis Jr., and the famous Johnny Totillo as Dean Martin. Then on Wednesday, June 23rd, I'm performing at the Crystal Lake Pool Senior Summer Barbecue, and all of the senior residents of Haddon Township are invited. Then it's down to Florida, Coconut Creek, Florida, on Friday, July 1st, performing a one-hour, one-man show at the Community Center from 2:30 to 3:30. July 2nd, it's across the Florida Peninsula to the Cape Cabaret in Cape Coral, Florida, for my big one-man show at the Cape Cabaret. Then it's up to the Poconos on July 6th and 7th, doing my Big Elvis shows. And last but certainly not least, on Wednesday, July 13th, another Big Elvis show at the Philadelphia Protestant Home, the showtime, 2 p.m. So ladies and gentlemen, keep the music playing in your lives. Folks, God bless you all, and stay safe. Remember, next month, we've got Nino Del Bono as my special guest. He went from a bakery to screen time as a movie actor to getting inducted into Boxing Hall of Fame. He's going to be my special guest next month. So stay safe, good night, and God bless you all.
Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on.